Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Ron and Don Show. I'm Don Allen. Over in Studio B is Mr. Ronald A. Edwards. Mr. Edwards, I am distraught, but how are you doing, sir?
Fine, Don. And, you know, it's good to hear your voice. I know you were in Washington, D.C. during the past weekend, if you will, 4 days out there with the politicals, if you will. But, geez, Don, during the time you were gone, you were stripped of your vice presidency. I know some people are saying that you probably don't want to talk about it, but I know that we have our good friend Reverend Pinckney from Benton Harbor, Michigan, that's going to try to give us additional insight into just how punitive the NAACP can be. But, Don, what did you do wrong this time? I mean, you Saturday at the meeting of the state conference of the powerful Minnesota-Dakota conference, they stripped you of your vice presidency. They said you didn't pay your dues, Don. What the heck is going on, buddy?
Well, you know, and I'd like to also welcome Reverend Pinckney on the air here with us. But before we you can chime in when you want. But Mr. Edwards, it was very interesting because I had been in contact with the national office and the regional director here, Cameron Middlebrooks, who last Thursday I woke up to an email that says your post has been vacated because, you know, you have not paid your dues and the national office has not sent your portion of the funds to Minneapolis. And I says, well, and he cited some obscure constitution. I says, well, I signed up online and I'm a member of branch 4050 and it's not really my responsibility to get money out of the NAACP bank account in Maryland and send it to Minneapolis. That sounds like it's your problem. You know, but what they did, Mr. Edwards and Reverend Pinckney, is they made it my problem. They decided on Saturday when they had a state convention here with 1 week's notice.
State conference.
And in Minnesota and over in North Minneapolis. And so at that meeting, they decided that because the national did not, I signed up online per our instructions for the special election and presented my credentials and my receipt, my credit card receipt, where $30 was plus a service fee was taken out of my U.S. bank account and paid to the National Urban League headquarters in Maryland.
NAACP.
NAACP. They just had me messed up, Mr. Harris. I'm sorry. You know, I'm distraught and, you know, it's punitive.
I could understand the way they've been beating up on you here in the last 5 or 6 days. A lot of statements going on cyber indicating this is certainly the end of your tenure and such things as that, and that you didn't meet your fiduciary responsibilities by paying a certain amount you've just laid out. Now, have you, Don, taken this issue to the director of branches, the powerful Reverend Dr. Gail Ford in Baltimore? Have you appealed to him?
Yes.
And what's your before Reverend Pinckney officially joins us, I mean, what is your status as we talk right now, Don Allen? Are you a member in good standing with the NAACP, or have you been exiled, extricated, and removed?
Well, I know for a fact that I am no longer on the board here as second vice president of the NAACP of Minneapolis. But I am a member in good standing, according to my membership card.
You have a membership card?
Yes, I do, sir. I have actually two membership cards, one for my lifetime membership and one for Branch 4050.
Is that 4050B?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
4050B, because the attorneys, lawyers were looking. Well, wait a minute, Don. Reverend Pinckney to join us pretty quick here. As he is, you know, currently a president and certainly a state official in the state of Michigan and president of the powerful Benton Harbor, Michigan branch of the NAACP. Wait a minute, I don't understand. You have a membership card in your possession, and yet on this past Saturday here in Minneapolis at the state conference, Minnesota, Dakota. You were stripped of your first vice presidency and your seat was declared vacant.
Yes, sir.
How did that happen? I mean, what is the card meaningless? It has no authority. It represents nothing. I mean, and was there a hearing, Don, by the way?
No,
maybe
there was
got
no
tell Reverend Pinkney and I that didn't you, weren't you called to a hearing or something?
No, I was not called to a hearing. And in a minute here, you're going to hear Reverend Gil Ford explain this obscure tactic used when they don't want people to vote or when they want to take over a particular seat and vacate it. And the thing is, Mr. Edwards, I got some intel back just after our production meeting. The NAACP National has laid off quite a few people. And the reason why they haven't been making the monthly payments to the branches for the people that have signed up online is because they don't have the money.
Oh, now, the gentleman that's just now joining us, the Reverend Pinkney, president of the Benton Harbor, gave us that kind of warning and heads up a year ago that these kinds of financial problems were in existence and that it was going to begin to create some hardship for the branches across the country. Many of these branches, which have been in business for, you know, like over 100 years, damn near. But I mean, I want to be clear. Your status is now that you still are a member of some NAACP something, but you have been stripped. Now, is it true that part of this was an attack upon you because of your Republican standing? I mean, I didn't want to bring that up from the left. You know what I mean? Try to be fair with you people on the right, but yeah. I understand that this is considered, and some of the discussion was that this was a punishment for your the Republican affiliations. We're not playing that kind of politics, are we?
Oh, yeah, it's playing politics. See, Mr. Edwards, when I first decided to do this, I did this because people would ask me, well, what have you done for the community? And I said, really not a damn thing except work, you know, and do what I need to do to help my family to survive and make its obligations every month. And so I said, you know, I'm going to go out here in good faith and join the NAACP. I'm going to run for office, and I'm going to get to the table, and I'm just going to speak my mind and say what I think, give suggestions, and see what happens.
Okay,
so,
I understand that from the left,
yeah,
man, but that sounds maybe like a little bit of propaganda. But
yeah.
My question was, were you accorded a hearing on the
I was
allegations and at that time pending actions that were being prepared against you? You didn't get a hearing?
I didn't get a hearing. It wasn't official. It was ruled that I could not be suspended. Like Reverend Maxey suspended me the first weekend of February 2014. It says we're filing the Article 10, but he could not suspend me because I was never sworn in. Neither was he at that time. Nor did they send any money to the National, and the National, of course, has never sent anything back to them. And so he was out of line. Of course, these guys don't read. And so with that said, Mr. Edwards, you know, I got to the table, and yes, I'm a Republican or a conservative, independent conservative, and
I
felt that, you know, it was important that we include everybody. When I heard
Now, let me ask you this, Don. From the left, I mean, sometimes you guys on the right kind of, you know, regurgitate and spill and spill and spill. Now, I'm also hearing rumors that part of this is because you made the mistake of making inquiry about some business dealings that the NAACP Democratic-controlled faction was involved in Rochester, Minnesota.
I'm still involved. I asked the question, what business does the Minneapolis NAACP have in Rochester, Minnesota with the Mayo Clinic and the money they're going to be spending down there to do some a lot of work?
Construction, the continued expansion of one of probably the most powerful health facility in the world. Reverend Pinkney, I'd like to ask you to join us. Are you there on the other end?
Yes, I am.
Give us just a little bit assistance here? What do you see Mr. Allen's status, particularly in light of the fact that he's been raising some serious questions about possible impropriety. I mean, what's your observation from afar? The gentleman that's joining us is in Michigan.
Let me tell you my experience. I'm not surprised at all. Here's the thing about the NAACP. You have to fall into line. You have to do what they want you to do. You can't ask questions because they have a history. Well, I don't know anything about the Minnesota branch, but let me tell you about the branches that I know of: Detroit, Chicago, Benton Harbor. These branches only can stay in existence as long as you do nothing. As long as you do exactly nothing and collect those dues. One of the reasons why they're having such a financial problem right today, we have more than 10,000 people to burn a membership card.
Yes.
And which was so incredible that even today people are talking about. But here's your status today. You can become you're only a member. You're not vice president anymore. And here's the reason why. They said so. No
Bob, women, let me ask you to repeat that, Reverend Pinkney. They said so.
That's right.
And so their saying so was not predicated on rules, regulations, constitution, and law?
Absolutely. They don't have to. They only follow the constitution when they want to, NAACP constitution, only when they need to, only when they need to outrule you. That's the only time they follow their own constitution. That's the only time. You will.
Okay.
The longer you're in there, and you're right there as a vice president, you'll see a lot of stuff happening that should not be happening.
Like Mr. Allen came across some stuff going on in Rochester.
Absolutely.
The state conference for the state conference.
Let's
president.
Say that, Mr. Allen, you know too much.
Uh-oh.
And if you know too much, you can become a member, but not a vice president. That's how it operates. And here's the kicker part. Try to go to the national office with your complaint. You would be so embarrassed because you would not believe what they'll tell you. They will tell you something if you're not a strong man that will break your heart.
Reverend Pinkley, let me step in at this point because that is a excellent segue. Mr. Allen, I'm going to ask you if you will now share with us the conversation you had with the powerful director of branches, the Reverend Dr. Gail Ford in Baltimore, Maryland. All right, do you have that taped up? I'm looking across
at
you.
We're ready to go.
Reverend Pinkney, now this, my God, you sure put your finger on it. This, for our listening audience, is a conversation between Donald W.G. Allen, the ousted of second vice president at Minneapolis branch, and the Reverend Gail Ford. Mr. Allen, go ahead.
Gail Ford, please. Reverend Ford, please.
Speaking.
Reverend Ford, my name is Don Allen. I'm calling you from Minneapolis, Minnesota. How are you today?
I'm fine, sir. How are you?
I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I had telephoned you yesterday, and there seems to be some confusion about my standing here in the Minneapolis NAACP over some funds that I paid with my credit card to the National, and I am a member of Branch 4050 for my membership card. And I need to get that cleared up sooner than later.
Okay, well, if you pay through the National, then pursuant to Article 4, Section 2 of the bylaws, your membership in the branch is not effective until the branch receives its portion of the membership.
And I don't have control over that, number one. Number two, this was a special election.
I understand, and I understand the guidelines of special elections because I'm the person responsible for their being conducted. And within a special election, we give individuals an opportunity to pay on site because we don't have the authority to supersede the policy that has been ratified by the convention or the delegates that basically set these policies in place. And so the policy still is that if you, in essence, prior to the election, individuals could have joined, paid their membership, and they would have been eligible. But if they joined through the national office, your membership is not effective in the branch until the branch receives its portion.
And that's not what Mr. Jordan said the night of the election. He said,
Mr. Jordan, Mr. Jordan, if he said anything else than that, he would have been wrong because it would have contradicted the policy.
Well, he said, quote, and it's actually on tape. I did not film it. A news person that was there filmed the whole proceedings, and he said, and I quote, that the bylaws do not apply here. This is a special election. You can either pay online, but you have to have proof of that, and he even put that out a couple of days even before the 13th. So I
said, I would have to find that, and then I'd have to still correct them because, again, staff doesn't have the authority to change the policy. We only have the responsibility of enforcing it, and in this instance, the policy still states that if you join online, your membership is not affected in the unit until the branch receives this portion.
Okay, so what about the other officers on the NAACP who joined online where a year to date have not received any money from the National?
I don't know. I can't answer unless I'm looking up specific individuals. I'm just responding to your question.
Okay, well, I'm saying that this applies then across the board.
It does.
Okay, then, well, we don't have a branch here in Minneapolis because, number one, the National has not sent them a penny for those memberships. Spike Moss, Lisa Clemens, Wintana Wilkins, and the Fiaro Jordan on the executive committee, who all joined online. And so,
I would have to go and look and see when they joined, and see if those memberships were processed or not processed.
And so,
you know, Jim Stallion, I don't have all of those names in front of me.
Well, why was my name targeted?
I'm more than happy to look into the matter and address it in accordance with the policy. And if that's in fact the case, then we can notify folks as such.
Okay, and when will that happen?
As soon as I get a list of the names of the officers, so I can have it looked into.
Okay, there's 370 people here in the Twins, actually in Minneapolis, that want to have a new election.
Then there'll be a new election in November.
Okay. Secondly, why was I targeted?
Mr. Allen, you're asking me a question that I can't answer because, again, I don't know who sent in or raised the question or concern about the status of your membership.
Okay, and I was not at the state conference because we only found out about it here in Minneapolis a week before it happened, and I had plans to go to D.C., but make a long story short here, what piece of paper did you send to them that they were waving around at the state conference saying that you authorized this move?
Authorized which move, sir?
To vacate my post as second vice president.
I didn't authorize the vacating of any post. Only thing I state to people is the policy of the NAACP. That's a whole, the policy states what it says.
Okay, so there was no letter, because I have not gotten a letter. I requested a hearing through the proper channels, have not gotten a
hearing. There is no hearing to request, sir. Hearings come under Article 10 when someone's membership has been submitted. There is nothing to hear here. This is a policy issue. So, again, I'm trying to understand what the issue is you're wanting to address.
I want to address, number one, why was I targeted, and number two, how you guys are going to clean this up and remedy it here locally and nationally.
First of all, I did not target you because I don't even know you. The second piece of it is that if an issue was raised about your membership status, then the policy is what would be applicable. And the policy states that in order to run for office, you have to have been a member of the branch. And if you joined online, your membership would not have been valid unless the branch received its portion.
So am I in control of calling you guys and making sure you send the branch 40-50 their share out of the money I paid?
The branch gets its portion as those memberships are processed through the national office.
Okay, well, mine was processed.
Department receives them online. They pull them offline, acknowledge them. Then they send a notice to the finance department with the unit number that you placed on when you typed in your information. And then a check is cut, and that can take anywhere from 60 to 90 days.
Okay, so my
departments and checks are only cut once a month.
Okay, then my unit card was processed in December. Actually, December 31st, it says on the card, branch 4050B. And so Mr. Middlebrooks sent me an email saying that the branch is in receipt of my funds. So I am wondering how that...
I have no clue what Mr. Middlebrooks sent you, sir.
I copied you on the email.
I can presume that they contacted, Mr. Middlebrook contacted the membership department, and they stated whether or not the batch in which your memberships were in was processed or not.
Well, the email, well, here's why I'm a little confused, because the email that Mr. Middlebrook sent me says that, I'm sorry for the confusion, the Minneapolis branch is in receipt of Mr. Allen's funds, period.
When was that dated?
That was, I actually copied you on an email, and let me just go back here so I can look, because I sent you the whole email. I copied and pasted it out of what Mr. Middlebrook sent me, and he said he did some research. I even talked to him on the phone, and let me just find that here. Let me go back up here and look. I will let you know exactly what that date was. That was on, he confirmed that my money and the branch is in receipt of those funds on March 26th. And that was from his investigation from me getting my card on December 31st. So this was brought up that I was not a member because the branch hadn't received my money and it was false.
I have no idea what he did or how he did it. What I can say, Mr. Allen, is I will contact the membership department right now. I will find out if your membership has been sent, but I can tell you that if it was not, if the branch had not received it on the date of the election, you aren't eligible to run. In order to be eligible to run, you had to be a member of the unit in good standing. If you chose to join online, then the fact is that pursuant to the policy of the organization, the membership is not, you are not a valid member of the branch until the branch receives its portion.
Even if I put branch 40...
If you had walked in, Mr. Allen, and gave them the money at the membership meeting, gave it to the secretary of the branch, your membership would have been effective on that date.
So you're saying you're not a member of the local branch if you join the NAACP online and write branch, your branch number on the application form?
Until the branch receives its portion.
Pursuant
to Article 4, Section 2 of the bylaws.
Okay, and then the address that you have online, if an official letter needs to go out to you, it would reach you from the address that you have online here in Maryland, correct?
Are you talking about 4805 Mount Hope Drive?
Yes, yes.
Yes, sir, that is the address of the national office.
Okay, that's what I need to know. All right, well, I hope you check that out because I'm not letting this go, and I'll be dealing with some stuff because I have confirmation from Mr. Middlebrooks via email.
Allen, again, what I stated to you is I will find out here shortly, as long as I can catch someone and they haven't gone to lunch yet in the membership department. If your membership has been processed, the date it was processed, and if that date was not before the election, then you would not not have been eligible to run because
the Constitution said, and also it was a special election because the NAACP.
The NAACP
had no organization in Minneapolis to even send any money to.
The notices that went out announcing the election gave individuals an opportunity to...
150 notices came back, returned mail. I saw them in the envelopes and counted them all.
That's fine, sir. Again, I can only tell you the policy, and I can state explicitly, pursuant to Robert's Rules of Orders, that no group or body has the authority to ratify or change the policy.
Well,
now, the election process may not have been applicable because the election process is set for September, October, and November of even-numbered years. But the membership piece cannot be changed.
Okay, with that said, you did not send a document to Minneapolis on Saturday, March 29th, vacating my post as second vice president.
I don't even know what document you're referencing, sir. I don't know if something came out of my office, but I have no clue what you're even referencing.
Okay, there was a document passed around. I wasn't at the meeting. I'm just getting feedback from people that were at the meeting, board members of the NAACP Executive Committee.
Now, rather than dealing with feedback in the association, what I would appreciate is if you would contact someone and ask them to forward me a copy of the document you're referencing.
That's just it. There is no document because you didn't send one. So that answered my question.
What you're even referencing, sir.
I understand, and I can deal with it in other ways. But, hey, thank you for your time, and you have a great day.
Just thanks, sir.
And that was the interview, Mr. Edwards.
Wow, that was tremendous.
Yeah.
Let me defer to you.
Let me say this to you. Are you saying that there was no branch in operation during the election? It was a special election?
Yes, sir.
And during the special election, the Constitution is suspended.
I know.
See, it all depends on how bad you want this thing. You really got them by the throat, especially since you had your membership card.
Mm-hmm.
With your membership card, you was entitled not only to run, but also to vote.
Yeah.
And I think he was trying to spin you.
Reverend Pinkney,
you did a
Reverend
great
Pinkney.
Job.
Let me correct it on this, because I've known the Reverend Ford for many years. Here's what they did. You made an extremely valid point right at the beginning. First of all, the branch was technically in receivership. It had not been functional. It had not been able to achieve a quorum for any meeting for almost 2 years. W.C. Jordan, the state conference president of the Minnesota-Dakota Conference, was instructed by Reverend Ford, director of branches, and the national board and the office of the president of the NAACP to, with speed and dispatch, conduct an election. And so notification went out in early November of 2013 that there would be a special election on the 13th day of December. Now, Mr. Allen has indicated to me as an example that he went online on either the 6th or the 7th day of December, as basically everybody else did, 2013, the 6th or 7th of December.
Mm-hmm.
That would have been approximately anywhere from 7 to 8 days prior to the election of the 13th.
Mm-hmm.
Reverend Pinkney, what happened here, based on what I've heard this man say to Mr. Allen just now, not a single person who, quote-unquote, ran for office, and there were two opposing sides, was eligible, based on the interpretation by Reverend Ford. I think you've already picked up on that.
Yes.
Were not eligible to have run for office. Okay? That means that the person who is currently the president, Reverend McAfee, and all other officers and officials are persona non grata. They are not eligible to hold office.
I find it
rather interesting, Mr. Allen, that when you asked how you and why you were targeted, there was not the, I thought, the kind of performer response that you were entitled to. But technically, certainly, Mr. Allen did not have his membership card, Reverend Pinkney, because he didn't get the membership card until, the membership card was not posted until the 31st of December. So somewhere or another, for basically 25 days, if you will, nothing happened. But as you said, sir, and this was what I told Mr. Allen would be important to hear from a veteran of the NAACP, a president of a current branch, and et cetera, that in essence what took place was that because of the inefficiency of the national, and I wonder how many people out there in America know tonight that if you go online and you request a membership and you pay for a membership in the NAACP, it may not be processed for some 90 days, which means you are disenfranchised from participating in the functions of the national branch at best, if you will. And that consequently, the money that you have paid, because I think one of the things that you said to us in a conversation a year ago, when you put your money down, when you send the application in, when it is received at the national officer, I mean, you become a member in good standing. I'm just amazed at what Reverend Ford, the director of branches, just got through saying. In fact, we timed it 13 minutes and 18 seconds, Mr. Allen. Is that correct?
Yeah, 13 minutes and 44 seconds. Yes.
Reverend Pinkney, I had to clarify that because that'll be a tech that they will try to pretend that irrespective of the fact that Mr. Allen went online. Oh, by the way, they took the money out of his account on the 8th day of December. They didn't have no problem. They didn't have no problem requesting from his bank.
That was a really amazing conversation, because what he did, he tipped his hat. Because why were you targeted and nobody else?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, sir.
And
absolutely.
Also, McAfee, you know, he's from Benton Harbor.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, he's from Benton Harbor. And I think that what I see is that you're going to win this battle if you care to.
Mm-hmm.
That's okay. The difference, because I believe that this is what they do. They target certain individuals who don't fit in with that bourgeois attitude to do nothing, and if you do something, you're going to be targeted. Or you might do something, you're going to be targeted. If you ask questions, you're going to be targeted. This is what the NAACP, and I'm going to tell you the truth, the NAACP is dying all over this country.
Yes.
Well, you know what, and if I could interject here real quick on two things. First of all, Mr. Edwards, the night I signed up for the NAACP online in that first week of December there, that same night, that money was in their account by the next morning, period.
Oh, okay, I gave them 24 hours. It was less than 24 hours.
Yeah, it was instant. Secondly, based on their standing and based on looking at their 990s and how much they pay out for the Image Award, they are at a deficit. They don't have the money to send to the branch. So his argument is invalid from the A to the Z out of his mouth. And if you can't send the branches their portion, the $18 and whatever it is, per $30, it's like 60 cents, I don't know, it's something like that, like 18 bucks or 11 bucks. And if you don't, if this branch cannot, now you got members signing up online, not as well as they used to be 10 or 15, 20 years ago, but you have sporadic memberships to where they have a membership department. But the thing is, if they can't afford to send the money to these branches, then that is not, like I told them, that's not my problem. I have no control over that.
Yeah.
So
let me ask this question, because I think it's important to have Reverend Pinkney continue to enlighten us on what he and I would definitely agree on as two old NAACP participants. Talk to us a little bit more, Reverend Pinkney, about a situation in which a branch actually has been its activities have been suspended, and this is and walk us through that again, sir. What a special election under the Constitution, because Reverend Ford went to great lengths, Mr. Allen, to teach you and ostracize you about. He made mention of the National Convention, and of course he's right. That's the legislative body, not his office. But as Reverend Pinckney and I know, that the offices of the director of branches, as well as the office of the president and et cetera, oftentimes without any resistance from the board, they take on the role of both the executive and the legislative. Reverend Pinckney, just how serious was the violation of Mr. Allen's franchise with regards to the status of the Minneapolis branch on the evening of December 13th, 2013?
Well, actually, it's very serious because it's a personal attack. Here's the thing. Let me walk you through this.
Go ahead.
Any time that there's a special election, that simply means that the Constitution has been suspended. That's what it says. If your if you have a branch, and you're not here's the thing. If you have an election, see, a special election could be held in an even year or off year. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing. And it appears to me that you had an election in an off year. If I'm correct, it was held in 2013.
Because Reverend Ford just now, and Mr. Allen, of course, has the audio, said something interesting when he made exactly that very statement, and yet he also pointed out very quickly in about the four-minute mark of your conversation, Mr. Allen, that you would have an opportunity because there will be an election in November of 2014. Reverend Pinckney is right on point. So you're talking about an election 1 year apart where allegedly your tenure or term is 2 years.
Absolutely.
Now, that is a very interesting issue constitutionally as it pertains to the NAACP. Why would you have an election in November of 2014, less than 12 months after your last election, which was December 13, 2013? But the reason was, as Reverend Pinckney has pointed out, and as I have pointed out in consultation with Mr. Allen, is that this was a special election because one of the problems, and Reverend Pinckney, I know you can appreciate this, one of the problems that has taken place is that the St. Paul branch and the state conference president who lives in Rochester and works for a major corporation in the city of Rochester, one of the problems they had run into was that Minneapolis corporations, which in the past had been very generous in their philanthropic giving to the national NAACP, the National Urban League has the same kind of problem, but had began to, the well had begun to dry up because the white corporate community here in Minneapolis was not seeing the kind of action, response, and facilitation from the Minneapolis branch, and that's where an emergency meeting apparently in August of 2013 was called. Reverend Ford, presiding over that meeting, then gave directions to the state conference president to post haste move and hold a special election in Minneapolis, notified the white corporate community here in Minneapolis that the Minneapolis branch was ready to be functional. Now, in the process of doing that, they actually put together the slate that they wanted to run and to take control of the branch in the move to oust the then president, a young man by the name of Booker Hodges, who has the right credentials. He's a deputy sheriff in one of the counties adjoining County. But they needed to show the white corporate community that the NAACP of Minneapolis was back in business, because when the St. Paul NAACP and the state conference NAACP attempted to talk to corporate heads on this side of the river, the first thing they would say, well, where are you fellas from?
Mm.
I'm from Rochester. I'm from St. Paul. Well, where are my Negroes from Minneapolis?
That's right. That's right.
All right. Am I off the base, Reverend Pinkney?
Oh,
are
you right
or
on,
am
point.
I on point?
You're right
yes,
on
sir.
Point.
Yes, sir. Yes,
absolutely.
Sir.
And while you both are there, Mr. Edwards, we have a caller. Can we get him in?
Let's hear the call, particularly while we have Reverend Pinkney with us. Go ahead, caller.
Yes.
Where are you calling from and what's your question?
Good evening, gentlemen. This is Jamar. I'm calling out of Minneapolis. How y'all doing this evening?
Real good. Sir.
You know, first of all, it's a bit ridiculous what was done to Mr. Allen. Total miscarriage of justice. And what's even sadder is that it's our people doing it. You know, I wonder if the people at the top have lost. Obviously, they've lost themselves, but they've lost the fact that we're supposed to be accountable for one another. And
amen.
Is it the fact that Mr. Allen is a Republican that this happened to? Is what I believe. We all know that this boils down to politics. And they may look at Mr. Allen because he's a Republican as an Uncle Tom or someone of that nature. But what we have got to do is wake up and understand that we can't treat each other bad. Because of party lines. And here's the thing, Mr. Allen is nowhere near a J.T. Watts or something, somebody of that nature. This is a conservative brother that is down for his people. I think that your problem has to be, Mr. Allen, you like to call a spade, in more ways than one, if you will. And I think that intimidates not only white folks, but it intimidates some of our own people because we're too busy covering our eyes with one hand and holding out there with the other. So, you know, I think that whatever we've got to do to rectify what happened to you, it should be done. It has to be shed light on that. Reverend McAfee is running hoodwink over the NAACP. I would not ever claim that this is a brother that represents me, the things that my family fought for and the things that I'm raising my children, things I'm trying to instill in my children. When you look at the background of things that he's done in his background and things that his children have done in their background. So I think we need to get some accountability, not only at the helm of the leadership of the NAACP, but somebody that accepts responsibility and accountability as well.
All right. All right.
Very,
any
very
specific
good.
Questions of Reverend Pinkney or
yeah, let
any
let
of us with regards
to
the subject matter?
Yeah, let me say this because, my man, he's right on point. I don't believe it was because he was a Republican. That could be part of it. But the biggest thing when you ask questions, you see, when you start asking questions about certain things, they start saying, well, we have to get rid of you. Because you don't fit into what we're trying to do here. And I think me as being the president of the branch here, and when they attempted to alter me, they don't want anybody who's going to mess with their money. See, if you're going to mess with their money, and they're afraid that Mr. Allen will be messing with their money. See, it's all about the dollars. It ain't about helping people. NAACP don't help nobody.
That's right.
They don't know. I can't speak of Minnesota, but let me speak of Chicago, Detroit, and Benton Harbor. And we can't help anybody. You know what? We went out and this young lady lost her job. We went out and picketed this company. They called the state NAACP on me, and the state NAACP. I'm out picketing with my cell phone. They called me on my cell phone and said, "You can't have a direct action." I said, did you want me to write you a letter and tell you what's happening? Then 3 months later, we're going to come back and pick it and get the girl job back? But fortunate for us, we got the girl job back just by being out here. But they do not like this stuff. The first thing that came out of their mouth, that's a direct action. You can't do that as a member of NAACP. You have to go through the channel. First, you go through the state. Then the state goes to the national. The national goes back to the state. The state goes back, come back to you and tell you could pick it. We talking about 3-4 months later. So, Mr. Allen, you keep challenging them and get that seat back.
All right. So let's take this opportunity to thank M for his call. And Reverend Pinky, we've had you on for quite a bit, and we definitely appreciate anything you want to leave us with regards to.
I want to leave you with this, Mr. Allen. Please do not allow them to intimidate you, because that's what they do to us. They get together and gang up on us. They call Gil Ford in. Gil Ford give you the song and the dance, and most people think, well, hey, oh, he's all right. No. He's doing what he's protecting his interests. He don't care about you. He don't care nothing about you. So you continue this fight, Mr. Allen. Don't give up. Keep fighting these boys. And don't let that branch know that you're here to stay. Even if you don't want the position, at least win it back.
Right. Yeah. Thank you, Reverend Pinky. We appreciate you.
All right, and
God
thank
y'all
so much, and I appreciate that.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right. Good night,
all. All right. Mr. Allen, obviously some of our callers know the number to call before, but at least let's give the number out in case there's anybody that wants to call and examine us. We're not like some of the programs that we are aware of here in our town where your calls are blocked or the right questions aren't asked. So let's give the call-in number for anyone out there that has any questions with regards to. I have to tell you, Mr. Allen, I joined with Reverend Pinckney out of Benton Harbor, Michigan, president of that powerful branch in Benton Harbor, Michigan. That was one of the damnedest and damning discussions that I've heard in a long time. Some of the things that Reverend Ford said. No wonder the NAACP nationally is in decline.
Yeah, and that number real quick here is 347-426-3904. Again, the number is 347-426-3904, and the lines are wide open. And Mr. Edwards, this is the one of the concerns of people in America, especially African Americans in America. We're wondering, you know, why we have to transform the American politics and the political platforms because you can't act as a member of the NAACP until you go through all these steps. So if another Trayvon Martin happens, how is it going to take 90 days before we hear from the Miami or the Florida NAACP because of the bureaucracy and the paperwork? It doesn't make any sense.
Well, but what Reverend Pinckney said should not be taken lightly or in any shape, form, or fashion be dismissed, because I am very cognizant both the NAACP and the Urban League. I've been a member of both organizations, have headed up the Urban League, have been an officer of the NAACP both at the local and state level, been a delegate to the national conventions, things that I feel proud of. I mean, I felt proud back in the days bygone. But what is said is extremely valid with regards to how the system kind of blocks the kind of quest that you're on behalf of your people. And I have seen situations where branches have been shut down, affiliates, that's the proper term for urban leagues, have been shut down, gone out of business, and et cetera. Do not take lightly, Mr. Allen, to the right, what I from the left said, that one of the issues that came up was that corporate Minneapolis, because we are here where there are two cities of almost equal size, Minneapolis and the city of St. Paul, which is also the state capital. And they have corporations which do a lot of money, do a lot of business and make a lot of money. And what has been happening for the last 3 or 4 years, particularly with powerful organizations such as General Mills, Cargill, Exxon, if you will, the Dayton foundations, and particularly the foundations, Best Buy, companies like that, Target. One of the things that they it came across kind of as cavalier and et cetera, but really white folks, and they feel comfortable like that, have said to some of these NAACP leaders from other cities here in Minnesota, you know, where is the local colored boy? Okay, mm-hmm. I mean, where are you gentlemen from? Oh, I'm from Rochester. I'm from Duluth. I'm from St. Paul, boss. You know, okay, that's well and good. So which one of you willies in here is from this town? You know, so that we can be guaranteed that when we give y'all a piece of money, though the majority of the money will go to your national organization. And Reverend Pinckney really brought something up once again, and he brought this up a year and a half ago when he was on two or three programs calling in. The National is really obsessed with making sure that at least 90% of money comes from these corporations, be it in Kalamazoo, Michigan, or Denver, Colorado, you know, or Albuquerque, New Mexico, or El Paso, Texas, or Birmingham, Alabama, that the majority of that money goes to the National, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And then they spin off a piece to the branch to allow the branch to keep their head above water. Their evaluation and assessment during these economic hard times, the NAACP, has been that this is one of the top 25 cities in the United States with regards to philanthropic giving. You know that, Mr. Allen. You've done studies on that. You've written a couple position papers. This is one of the 25 top cities, okay, may even be one of the top 15. And what the National realized here a year and a half, 2 years ago, that's why they worked very hard to remove young Booker T. Hodges as president, okay, is that they weren't getting any money anymore out of Minneapolis, okay? The big corporations here, and particularly our foundations, because we are a great nonprofit city. Mm-hmm. We go to great lengths to have all kinds of nonprofits, okay? So there's a lot of tax cap, if you will, and tax shelters and et cetera, right?
Right, absolutely.
And so the analysis began to show that that giving from corporate Minneapolis to the National and by extension the NAACP had dried up, and it went all the way back to the battles of 2000, 2001, 2002, when over $1 million of federal education dollars were defrauded, pirated, and then a dummy corporation was set up, and the monies were shifted to that corporation, and then the monies basically disappeared. The minister who was in charge of the NAACP back in those days pulled up stakes, left town, moved back to Florida, okay? And there was never any accounting on the better than $1 million in Leave No Child Left Behind dollars that had come into the Minneapolis branch in the period of 2001, 2, 3, 4, 5, okay? These are things that people need to know. Now, in the case of you, Mr. Allen, you made a mistake, and I repeat it again, and I'd like to see a challenge, a call, all them people sitting in the chat room and et cetera. You made a mistake when you raised the question about Rochester.
Yep.
Though I have to tell you that the Mayo Clinic, that Mayo Foundation, Mayo Incorporated, et cetera, were appreciative because they did not have any intention of having somebody take them to the cleaners. And I will have to inform you of this, Mr. Allen, because you were in Washington, D.C. on other business. There was a confirmation from an elected public official at Saturday's state conference meeting about some of the individuals that have been identified as being in Rochester attempting to, quote-unquote, cut a deal.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah. So, like I said, those phone lines are open. I mean, the phone lines are wide open. But let's move on because they say that these guys are spending a lot of time. We've got about 35 minutes left. Is that right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I want to move over to the city civil rights department because it really maybe will give our national, international, domestic. Velma Corbell has been put back in as executive director of the Minneapolis Department of Civil Rights. Now, this comes at a time, Mr. Allen, when there is currently now an investigation about corruption and other kinds of illegal felony acts that have been conducted with regards to the falsification of information, falsification of reports, falsification, most importantly, of statistics and et cetera. And it goes back a long ways, but it really began to enhance itself in 2007, 8, and 9, doing the construction of the Twin Stadium, which, by the way, we're getting ready to, you know, we already have open the old baseball season, and the Twins are already 0-2. But I just think, Mr. Allen, you created a problem when you raised the question about Rochester, and then when you talk in terms of what has been uncovered with regards to the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department. and it's aiding and abetting of falsification of documentation and et cetera. To the extent that a investigator for the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department in contract compliance, who is an attorney at law, and she's also white, so let's deal with that. Mm-hmm. Because last week we got a number of calls from some people who were just absolutely assured that a number of council members were going to change their votes last Friday and vote not to confirm or reconfirm Velma Corbell, right?
Right.
Okay.
Absolutely.
You were out of the city. The vote was taken. It was 9-3. In favor. The councilman from the 5th Ward and two other councilmen, Andrew Johnson and Mr. Fay, held their ground and opposed the re-election or the reappointment of Velma Corbell. Now, what is so tragic about that is there is now documentation that indicates that a woman by the name of Kristen White, an attorney, licensed to practice law in the state of Minnesota, was pressured to falsify documents and et cetera, actually went to Human Resources in the city of Minneapolis, the Human Resources Department. The person who is in charge of Human Resources is a very close and personal friend of Velma Corbell. In fact, they served on the YWCA board together and were very much a part of the cover-up of the death of Cornelius Smith. You remember that case, Ms. Dalton, because
yes, I do.
You asked Ms. Corbell to initiate a civil rights investigation into the circumstances of the murder by police of Cornelius Smith in the lobby of the downtown YWCA. She refused, okay? But Ms. Ferguson is a longtime associate and friend and et cetera, and what happened was Kristen White, and by the way, you will not find that name in the paper, but if you go before they purge it, if you go to the website of the Star Tribune,
yes,
and Eric Roper, the reporter Eric Roper, you will see her name mentioned on the 21st day of March. Now, they didn't put it in the hard copy story, but he put it on his website.
Mm.
Okay. Reason is they did not want you and the general public to know who this woman was. She went to Human Resources on a, let's say, Wednesday afternoon to report and do due diligence and et cetera, and she was fired the next morning. Now, it was easy to fire her because Kristen White was a probationary employee, and mm-hmm. the policies of the city of Minneapolis is that if you're a probationary employee, you really have no rights or standing. You can be fired without cause. Okay.
Okay.
Now, I'm just saying that all of this is at play. One of the things that happened was that not a single civil rights leader or organization stood up and said a mumbling word during the public hearing back on the 19th of March. And some of the people from the white community that called into this program a week ago tonight were the ones that went down and raised some of these questions in support of Kristen White and Seema Disa, a East Indian, who also brought forward information of impropriety and et cetera. And Cam Gordon, I mean, I have to say this over the air, Mr. Cam Gordon pretended that he didn't know anything about that, that he didn't know that falsification of documentation and that felony fraud was being committed by the Civil Rights Department and et cetera. That was so disconcerting.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was talked to and approached by a number of former employees of the Civil Rights Department. And he's been in consultation with current employees of the Civil Rights Department. And I got to tell you, Velma and Little John and some of the others of you, you were absolutely shocked when you left the hearing last Friday and you went to a local bar and you walked in and there was one of your employees meeting with one of those that had testified, and they were passing material back and forth to each other.
Not good. Not good at all.
Well,
we
not good at all.
Get
the caller. Get the caller. We got a half hour left. Get the caller.
Yeah.
Caller, go ahead.
You're on. Live on the air. Go ahead, ma'am.
Good evening. I was listening to Mr. Pinckney today about NAACP. My problem with that is that for people who would like to vote on the net and still pending by the time election is coming up, that the local branch would have to get the monies from the international or national level in order for you to qualify as a voter. The thing about that is that the Jerry McAfee's and this quote-unquote group, they already had weeded out the undesirables of Minneapolis that they don't want to be members of the NAACP. So if you either register here or you register on a national level, it wouldn't make a difference because your vote will still be pending or they will lose it.
All right, now let me just say, I don't think that that was Reverend Pinckney. I think that that was Reverend Ford, and you were listening to the telephone conversation involving Mr. Ford, Reverend Ford, and Mr. Allen. Mr.
Okay.
Pinckney, Reverend Pinckney, who is the president of the Benton Harbor NAACP and has been fighting the national NAACP to a standstill behind some things that they pulled and attempted to oust him, which they failed. In fact, he went into federal court in western Michigan and prevailed against the national. You know, nobody wants to talk about that. But I think that was Reverend Ford that you were listening to, Reverend Ford attempting to explain to Mr. Allen why he was not eligible.
My question is, since they did that to Mr. Allen of making him not eligible, that would go on to a lot of Minnesotans who would like to register to vote as well because they control the vote.
Absolutely.
It's like controlling the vote. If you know you go to national level and your monies are not being allocated or used within 30 days and they can put it in pending, then you're not eligible to vote. And if you register to vote here, they can also put your or lose the file that you're not a member. So how is anyone able to go around that? It's like you're damned if you do and damned if you don't.
What will happen, madam, in a situation like that, unfortunately, and as I said earlier, as a person that was a member of the NAACP way back in the 1960s and saw this happen with branches and in unfortunate fights, internal scuffles, and et cetera, within the organization, I'm afraid that it will not cease and desist until there is a court case and there is a significant ruling in the federal courts that sanctions the national for violating its own constitution and bylaws.
May I ask another question? What happens to people who would like to register in order for the November election so that we can vote?
Got to do it right now. You got to do it right now. In fact, that's a good question because under the Constitution and bylaws, because this will not be a special election in this coming November, and that's an excellent question by you. You must be a member for 190 days in order to run for office under
Correct.
The Constitution and bylaws. You must be a member for 190 days. So you have to, those of folks that are out there, you have to register right now and have your membership, hopefully have your membership now or but no later than the end of April in order to be eligible to run for office. Now, that does not bar you from voting for a candidate, I mean, if they let you. But you've raised a very interesting and valid concern that no one is paying any attention to. And, Mr. Allen, I say this to you also as my colleague here and co-host, is that you actually must have you must be properly certified within 190 days of the date of the election. Yeah. And technically, looking at the calendar, I don't think you can make it.
Now, Don, this is something else I want to make a valid point about that, is that, Mr. Allen, this is information that you can use in your fire, too, because I'm watching certain things that, you know, you're speaking about Mr. McAfee, but I find out that he also sits on the foundation of the Stair Step organization as well. So, you know,
Mr. Allen, you want to speak up to that so she understands that you're right here listening?
Because, this person sits on many boards, which he has many friends that will continue to try to oust you out of your
let me explain something to you real quick. Now, you're talking about the Stair Step Foundation led by Alfred Babington Johnson.
Yeah.
Correct?
Now, Reverend McAfee sits on that board, which, they accumulated $669,000.
Yeah, but let me just tell you something. They blew almost $35 million less than 10 years ago on this CIEZA, a Burger King, a Tires Plus, and a Dairy Queen, trying to create jobs for African-Americans in North Minneapolis. I mean, these guys are no joke when it comes to getting their money, but they're a joke when they get to, try to form some kind of business and some cohesion. They start cutting each other's heads off.
Well, in that same case, it's just always the same people that sit on those boards that's doing this. Now, there's got to be a paper trace to seeing why is it that Mr. McAfee sits on every one of these boards where there's missing money.
Wow. Yeah. That is a good question. Yeah. That is a question. But you know what happens in a situation like that? And I have to tell you that the relationship has already been consummated. Normally, the local U.S. attorney in your jurisdiction, in this case the state of Minnesota, would be the person that would be asking those kinds of questions and making those kinds of probes and et cetera. But there's a certain aspect that I'm not comfortable talking about that pertains to the fact that that'll never happen so long as the individuals continue to carry out their specific function as it pertains to the control of the African-American community. I just hate to say it. But that is a heck of a valid point that has been under discussion. And, in fact, I'll indicate something. I know this will upset some of them. I refer folks to a column by the former NAACP president who was ousted in the same manner that Mr. Allen is being dumped on. Booker T. Hodges wrote a piece in the Minnesota Spokesman Recorder. I assume they still have it in their archives, in which he talked in terms of the amount of money starting in 1992, 93 that that these individuals had been involved in and that cannot be accounted for. If you can find the article, it would have been probably September of 2009. Booker T. Hodges, former president of the NAACP, wrote a hell of an opinion piece about this pattern and practice. So, but it's up to the citizens and the institutions and the organization to deal something with it. Mr. Allen says something very interesting, $35 million on some businesses that, never flourished, didn't last too long, but they lasted long enough to bring in a lot of money for personal...
But it was the same people. It's the same people that sit on the board that's always missing money somewhere. And I'm trying to find out why is it that, we have the same individuals that show up on everyone else's board.
I think I addressed that. These folks are the folks who are put in place. They are the gatekeepers. Pure and simple.
Okay.
All right.
Mr. Allen, I want to say one thing else to you. Watch your back, man.
Okay.
Watch your back.
Oh yeah,
right.
He knows. He better know that. Yeah.
Thank you,
madam. Appreciate the call. Okay.
Thank you,
Mr. Allen. Leave that number out there again. Interesting question about monies and specific persons and et cetera. I imagine hit lists are being prepared even as we speak. But go ahead, give that number out again.
That number is 347-426-3904. Again, the phone lines are open at 347-426-3904.
Don, let me just ask this question. I mean, I see you over there. How many times, what kind of text messages are you getting?
I'm getting all kinds of stuff through here. But, I'm trying to get folks to call the phone line. I'm not answering any of them.
That's right.
And I know a couple. A couple folks aren't going to call in, and just for simple fact, they're playing both sides of the fence, and I'm fully aware of that. I understand. So in some cases, they do have to keep that cover because we're journalists. We need sources. We need to find out when this stuff happened.
That's right.
I can respect
that. Yeah, and they will pass this information. Back to the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department and the new mayor, Betsy Hodges, and her decision to continue that stewardship, if you will, involving Velma Corvell, Michael Brown, and that whole crew. I have to tell you that the Star Tribune is in a bad position right now because they were initially being asked, the Minneapolis Star Tribune, to write an article or pretend to do an investigative series to make it appear that the allegations made by Ms. Kristen White, an attorney of law and former investigator in contract compliance for the Minneapolis Civil Rights Department, her allegations be repudiated by this so-called investigative report. Lo and behold, the word has come back down, and then my sources are within the city council itself, that the Civil Rights Department is now saying that there are documents which cannot be retrieved that deal with the execution of, maybe that's a bad word, but, you know, the facilitation of the policy and the laws and the statutes, and they cannot recover the necessary documents that show how major projects such as the Twins Stadium, the Children's Hospital, Fairview Children's Hospital, University of Minnesota, University of Minnesota's TCF Stadium, and such entities that they cannot provide information on the relationship between Standard Sidewalk, who does all of the sidewalk and gutter work and et cetera here in our beloved city of Minneapolis, who's had a contract for now almost 30 years. You know, the city coordinator's office doesn't even take a bid anymore when it comes time to send out proposals doing sidewalk work and, you know, repairing your sidewalks and the gutters and et cetera. Standard Sidewalk.
Yes.
Interesting relationship. In fact, I'm in possession of a letter they sent to then Civil Rights Director Michael Jordan in 2007, which they actually called him boy. I mean, they told him, said, look here, boy, we've been doing this for 25 years. Back up and get your mind right, okay? You don't raise any questions to us about the fact we don't hire black people.
Mm-hmm.
And that was under R.T. Ryback. Oh, yeah, Standard Sidewalk. And for anybody that wants to raise the question, well, what did you do about it? I filed a civil rights complaint. It took a year for them to wipe it out. It took a year before they said, I, who am one of the people still alive that helped write the civil rights statutes for this city, they said I didn't have any standing to bring this information forward.
Mm-mm.
Yeah. And if anybody really wants to call and question it, I'll give them the case file number.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So, yeah, phone lines are wide open, folks. Don't stay in the chat room. You know, come on, step up to the plate. Hit the ball. You know, baseball season's opened, if you will. You know, come on. Go ahead, Mr. Allen.
It's wide open. Also, you know, Mr. Edwards, we have something brewing here with Community Action Partnership, I think it is, in St. Ramsey, Washington
Ramsey,
County.
The Ramsey, Washington County CAP agency that you're talking about.
Yeah, the CAP agency that we hear.
Yeah,
stuff. Yeah, and there is a
Community Action Program. Yeah.
Community Action Program, and there is a controversy.
Bill Davis runs the one over here in Minneapolis. Oops.
Okay, and then the one in Ramsey County and Washington County is ran by our beloved Mr. Reverend Clarence Hightower. And there seems to be some things brewing with a complaints of harassment with one of the local agencies in that particular building where CAP is, who leases out space. And there's actually a court date downtown St. Paul at 9 a.m. Between CAP and this particular agency. I'm not at liberty right now, Mr. Edwards. She's contacting the executive director, is contacting her attorney, because I really wanted her on the air tonight to explain this in detail. But I'm pretty sure it's like next week they will, or the week after, they will be ready to scream to the top of the mountains regarding the situation.
Well, let's hope that they do, because, you know, our policy here is that in a situation like that, that we tell folks to step up, let the community know, let the public know, let their adversaries know what the issues are. You know, we want to stay away from any secrecy, if you will. We hope that the person in question that you're talking about, who I'm very much aware of, will be prepared to talk about this court case and some of the allegations they've made against the leadership of the Washington County, Ramsey County CAF agency. I mean, right. I hope they certainly do that. Anything else we've got here? We're on the last 15 minutes. Again, those phone lines are open. We've had some interesting dialogue. I have to tell you, Mr. Allen, that was quite a discussion that you and the Reverend Gail Ford had. Again, we want to point out the Reverend Ford is the powerful, powerful director of branches of the National NAACP. He's been in that position now for, almost 20 years. Was formerly married to a former president of the Minneapolis branch in the early 2000s, Shayla Lindsay, the lovely Shayla Lindsay, who left here. I think that she and the Reverend are now maybe separated. I'm not totally sure. I don't want to be kind of one of them old church gossipers, if you will, but I think they are now separated. But I know there are many here that remember Shayla Lindsay, if you will, president of the Minneapolis branch from 1999 to 2003, if I'm not mistaken, before the Reverend Gallman. You Reverend Gallman. Well, you maybe didn't know Reverend Gallman, Don, but Reverend Gallman took over as president of the NAACP Minneapolis branch, and of course that's when the Leave No Child Left Behind $1 million was diverted to a private entity, and then next thing you know, the minister was gone, the money was gone. A lot of black folk who supported it and talked about what they were going to do for the educational attainment and achievement of black children were gone. In fact, you can't even get people around here to talk about Leave No Child Left Behind. Former first vice president, Brett Buckner, was a very integral part. Brett, we know you're listening in. He was quite the man. Worked very closely with Kwasi Mpumi, then national NAACP president, who used to visit here quite frequently, if you will. And, of course, Brett was, like I said, the right hand of the Reverend Gallman, if you will. A lot of history in this town, yeah. Donald Allen.
The reach-around man. Okay,
Right.
And Mr. Harris, we want to remind our listeners that next week you must tune in. We've had confirmation from gubernatorial candidate, running for governor of Minnesota, current Hennepin County Commissioner Jeff Johnson will be live on the air with us here next week. So you need to tune in. I sent out invitations to the incumbent and many other.
And that would be the current governor, Mark Date.
Yes, Mark Date.
Yeah,
and
okay.
And got no response. And so Mr. Jeff Johnson would like to join us on the air, and he is running under the Republican moniker, trying to get the GOP endorsement. But, you know, his time.
Let me ask this question, Don, for transparency and et cetera. Now, is Mr. Johnson a current office holder?
Yes, he is.
Is what position, Don?
He is a Hennepin County Commissioner.
That's right. He is one of seven members.
Yes.
That's right. And he is a Republican, correct? I mean, we need to be transparent. He is a Republican.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, sir. Yes,
yeah,
sir.
Okay. Okay, but he has indicated that he will be on the program with Donnie and Ronnie next Wednesday evening. Yes, we welcome him. We look forward to that. Yes, we do.
And part of this is our goal for voter education. You know, so you can hear it from both sides. If we get someone from the other side, we'll put them on the air. But we actively invite, if you are running for an office, governor, Congress, whatever, please, you know, contact us and we'll see what we can do.
I think that's certainly the fair way to do it, you know. And, of course, you know, We always will have guests, as we did with Reverend Pinckney. We're able to bring our guests in from all around the country, if you will. We think it's just, it's healthy, you know what I mean? It's healthy.
Yeah.
It nourishes dialogue, viewpoints, and et cetera, if you will. By the way, are we had heard from Doug Mann. By the way, congratulations to Doug Mann, Mr. Allen, and we were going to touch on that. Doug Mann, the new state conference chairman of the Education Committee. Doug Mann, appointed to that position Saturday afternoon in Minneapolis, if you will, by the powerful state conference president W.C. Jordan out of Rochester, Minnesota. But Doug Mann is the new state conference chairman on education. So, you know, he, and my understanding is that he has already indicated some specific actions that he desires to take, including, as he talked about on last week's program, some reports that have, that the Minneapolis Public School District has been remiss, I'll use that word, Mr. Allen, in reporting that deals with issues of racial equity, racial balance, and et cetera, in our beloved schools.
Yes.
The Minneapolis Public School Special District Number 1 has apparently declined or is forgotten. I mean, I know they're busy over there at 1250 in that beautiful building built without black participation. But anyways, I know that they're busy, but those reports are required by statutory authority, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so, and by the way, I think because of the announcement made at Saturday's meeting of the state conference, which, of course, you were not at, you were traveling, you were in our nation's capital, but I certainly would like to hear a little bit more on the report given by an elected state official on the excellent job a couple of our NAACP the executive committee chiefs have been involved in Rochester. Apparently, there had been some real negotiations going on down there to guarantee some kind of participation, if you will. I'm not sure what the amount of money was going to be, but I do understand that the Rochester City Council and the Mayo Clinic itself indicated they were not comfortable with, I'll use this word, they were not comfortable with how they were approached. What do you think that means, Don?
I don't know, but we do have a caller.
Oh, let's get the caller in. We got about 10 minutes left.
Mr. Mann, go right ahead, sir. Welcome.
Oh, Doug Mann, we talked you up. How you doing, Doug? What you got for us?
Oh, well, actually, I was one of the co-chairs. They were asking for volunteers, and Lisa Delgado and myself are the co-chairs
of the education committee for the state conference.
For the state conference, right.
Right. And Ms. Delgado, I understand it, is the education chair for the Minneapolis branch of the NAACP. Is that correct?
That's what I heard.
Okay. I mean, we just think, you know, that information should be getting out. Maybe Isaac Peterson of the Spokesman Recorder will be reporting on that, Mr. Albert and Mr. Mann.
Yeah.
But go ahead, Mr. Mann. What do you have?
Oh, well, it's interesting that it's this is a dues technicality that Mr. Allen was, dethroned or whatever. On the two, I mean, that whole conversation sounded, you know, rather strange. Sort of like a
rehearse. Rehearse.
Well, I mean,
pre-prepare. Prefabric. Now, let me just say, I understand, Mr. Mann, from operatives that you were at the, because you are a member, obviously, of the NAACP, you were at that meeting Saturday, weren't you?
Well, actually, I'm not sure about my, you know, they haven't processed my my membership yet, so.
When did you pay for it?
the night of the election. So I was eligible to vote.
December.
Yeah, 13th. I paid it, at the
2030. You paid yours. And I don't know if you had a chance to hear the powerful director of the of branches, Mr. Reverend Ford. You know, it's interesting that we would get you, though we only have about 5 minutes left, so we want you to know that. You bought your membership that night. Am I correct, Mr. Mann?
Right, the 13th of December, yeah.
Yeah, you paid your money at the table there at the church, New Salem, correct?
Mm-hmm.
And you were given a ballot and allowed to vote, right?
Right, so I'm a member, right?
Well, you have to be. Mr. Allen, I kind of saved this one for you, okay? And also, if Reverend Pinckney is listening, because we have live, if you will, a person who fit the description of what Reverend Ford told you in the recorded conversation. Mr. Mann, don't want to put words in his mouth, but that's why I'm an investigative journalist. Mr. Mann paid at the table. They took his money. They declared him to be a member in good standing and acting in good faith, gave him a ballot. Mr. Mann voted. But you're saying to us and the free world that you still have not received your membership card, Mr. Allen? I mean, Mr. Mann.
Right. The National won't process it until they get the money from the branch.
Now that must be incorrect, because Mr. Ford told Mr. Allen that it wouldn't happen until it was sent back to the branch. You mean, wait a minute, your money hasn't been processed by the branch yet?
The branch has put the money in their bank account, but they haven't given the National its cut.
Well, Mr. Mann,
wait a minute. I wish we had more time tonight, but we're going to... Now, wait a minute, because that's not what the Reverend Dr. Gail Ford told Mr. Allen in a 13-minute and 48-second telephone conversation. Let me get this correct. Am I misunderstanding here altogether, Mr. Allen?
No, you're not misunderstanding anyway, but I do have to make the declaration that, Mr. Mann, you are not eligible to hold office in the NAACP.
Well,
Mr. Jordan made a serious error, and in the situation with both Ms. Delgado and unless Ms. Delgado is a life member, my God, Mr. Allen, you're absolutely correct. And Mr. Mann, I just don't want to be the bearer of bad news, but based on what Reverend Dr. Ford told us, none of you folks are eligible to be members of the NAACP. Let me just ask this question again, Mr. Mann. I want to be absolutely correct. You paid cash money that night. You received a ballot because that is a part of the rules of a special election. You voted, right?
Right.
You have not got your membership, and you have been told because the Minneapolis branch has not sent the money to the...
Go ahead.
Well,
go ahead.
It works the other way. If if the National gets the money first, then they have to remit it to the branch.
Took the money.
Well, but it works the same way no matter which way it goes, either online or cash on the hoof. What Mr. Ford said was that nothing can happen unless the branch and the National gets its cut.
That's
what Mr. Ford said in a recorded conversation just in the last 24 hours.
Mr. Evers, they don't have the money to send any money to anybody. So it may be
the NAACP branch on this end, and we're over talking our guests, but I mean, this is startling. This is revealing.
His whole explanation of all this just doesn't make any sense to me. You know, you pay the money, and I would think that the day that you make the payment would be the start date.
Well, that's what the Constitution and Bylaws says, but Reverend Ford said that the Constitution and Bylaws doesn't say that because he said it doesn't say that. I don't know if he had a message from on high, if God spoke to him, you know what I mean? I'm not sure. We're running out of time. Mr. Mann, we're going to ask you if you will join us, call us at the top of the hour next Wednesday, because we need to find out just a little bit more, because, Mr. Allen, we've got a constitutional crisis here.
Yes, we do.
Based on the statements by Reverend Ford, and now based on the statements by Mr. Doug Mann, who has been a member of the NAACP for, what has it been, Doug, at least 20 years?
17 anyway. Yeah.
17. Lord have mercy. All right, Doug, I want to thank you, but we're looking for you to give us a call at the beginning of our program next week. Again, all right, will you be able to do that? Or at some point in time?
I think so.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Well, Mr. Allen, I guess we got to wrap it, man. Let James Brown take us, I don't know, brother, take us somewhere.
Yeah. See you next week.
All right.
Make a pound. Brother, we can't quit until we get our share.